Okay, the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14. Tonight, verses 1 through 15. Let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's word. Zechariah chapter 14. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. You will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. It will come about in that day that there will be no light. The luminaries will dwindle, for it will be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But it will come about that at evening time there will be light. And it will come about in that day that living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and the other half toward the western sea. It will be in summer as well as in winter. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one and his name the only one. All the land will be changed into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem will rise and remain on its site from Benjamin's gate as far as the place of the first gate to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. People will live in it, and there will be no more curse, for Jerusalem will dwell in security. Now this will be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples who have gone to war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they stand on their feet, and their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongue will rot in their mouth. It will come about in that day that a great panic from the Lord will fall on them. They will seize one another's hand, and the hand of one will be lifted against the hand of another. Judah also will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nation will be gathered, gold and silver and garments in great abundance. So also, like this plague, will be the plague on the horse, the mule, the camel, the donkey, and all the cattle that will be in those camps. Lord, give us insight now into these words and the momentous importance of this coming day. In Jesus' name, amen. There might be a few of you who remember the radio broadcasts of J. Vernon McGee. You know, the Bible Bus. J. Vernon McGee. Who, by the way, didn't agree with us on a number of significant things. But he did agree with us on prophecy matters. And J. Vernon McGee used to say, if you want to find out whether a Bible teacher takes the Bible seriously, ask him to explain Zechariah chapter 14. Because you will find when you do that and when you read the commentaries, there are lots of different interpretations and viewpoints on this, and it shows how somebody approaches Scripture. So we'll keep that in mind as we go through this, but one of the important parts of that is to understand that Zechariah chapter 14 is future. And for us, it is yet future. And if somebody would teach differently than that, you probably ought to get away from their teaching. So we take this as future, 20 future predictions. Now, if we take this as 20 future predictions, and I know this isn't the way we like to do it, but take it as a list of predictions that will happen at the time of the second coming of Messiah, but not necessarily in the order that they're presented in this chapter. But they'll all happen on that day. But not necessarily in the order, because there are ideas and principles that are being taught in this also. So we'll take it as 20 future predictions. And the very first one in verse 1 is that this day is a day that is coming. That is, it is future. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord, for Yahweh. It is part of the Lord's day, the day of the Lord. That day is coming. And we're going to observe that throughout chapter 14. Glance at verse 4. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Verse 6, it will come about in that day that there will be no light. Verse 7, it will be a unique day. Verse 8 will come about in that day that living waters will flow. Verse 9, the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one. Verse 13, it will come about in that day. Verse 20, in that day, there will be inscribed on the bells of the horses. And verse 21 ends, in the house of the Lord of hosts, in that day. Now, if you've been with us for the last several times, this should not be at all surprising to you, because we've seen the phrase in chapter 12 and in chapter 13. So, for example, chapter 12, verse 3, it will come about in that day. Chapter 12, verse 4, in that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse. Chapter 12, verse 6, in that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot. Chapter 12, verse 8, in that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Chapter 12, verse 9, in that day, I will set about to destroy all the nations. Verse 11, in that day, there will be great mourning in Jerusalem. And in chapter 13, we saw it. Verse 1, in that day, a fountain will be opened for the house of David. Chapter 13, verse 2, it will come about in that day, declares the Lord of hosts. And chapter 13, verse 4, it will come about in that day. So we're talking about the same day all the way through this oracle section, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. And it is the day of the Lord, which includes the day of his second coming. So it's a future day that is coming. Now, we don't need to labor the point, but is that an important day? You know, it may be the important day of all of history. I'll let you to debate with yourself over whether the day of Jesus' crucifixion or the day of Jesus' resurrection or the day of Jesus' second coming is the most important. But they're all vitally significant, aren't they? All of them. This is a future momentous day. Prediction number 2, still in chapter 14, verse 1. On this coming day, all things that have ever been taken from Israel will be returned to Israel. That's the rest of verse 1. The spoil taken from you will be divided among you. Now, what has been taken from Israel over the centuries of history? Land, all that goes with it, people, all that's been taken from Israel will be returned to Israel. Now, that would be an interesting promise for everything. Wouldn't you like to say, you know what? When the Lord comes, everything that was ever stolen from me, I'll get back. Well, I don't know about for us, but that will be true for Israel. So that's the second prediction. Prediction number 3 in verse 2. The Lord will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Now, we saw that already in chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. We won't go back to that tonight. But this is the gathering of nations against Jerusalem that is coinciding with Messiah's second coming. In other words, it's the Battle of Armageddon, gathered against Jerusalem. Now, just a word about Jerusalem here in verse 2. First of all, Jerusalem means Jerusalem. Okay, I realize that doesn't sound too profound, but we're not talking here about a spiritualized Jerusalem or a heavenly Jerusalem. This is not the Lord will gather people, gather enemies against spiritual purposes. No, it's against Jerusalem. Say, well, but they'll be gathered in the valley of Armageddon, the Megiddo Valley, which is fairly large. Yes, they will. But the focus of the Megiddo Valley of Armageddon comes to the point, at a point on the north side of Jerusalem at the Temple Mount. The issue at the Battle of Armageddon is not having a battle in a valley. The issue at the Battle of Armageddon is Satan, the Antichrist, and all the enemies of Israel want Jerusalem. They want the Temple Mount. And they're gathered and they're trying to take it. And so that will happen. And verse 2 tells us, Jerusalem will be captured. That will happen at Armageddon. Jerusalem will be captured. Their houses will be ransacked. Now, if you're Jewish, especially living in Jerusalem, you ought to be saying, this doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? And their women will be raped, ravished. Yes, that's what's going to happen. Jewish women in Jerusalem raped because of the evil of Jewish enemies coming against them. Half of the city will be exiled and go on the run, and some of the city will survive. And the Lord will gather the nations there and permit this to occur. And it will be under Antichrist's leadership. Prediction number 4. In verse 3, the Lord will fight for Israel. Much as we saw back in chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. The Lord will fight for Israel. Now, prediction number 5, which is extremely important, time-wise, we probably would say it should be several verses later than it is. But that's why I said to you, don't necessarily take these in order, but they are all happening in that day. So, prediction number 5, the Lord will come and physically put his feet on the Mount of Olives. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. At Messiah's second coming, it is a second coming to earth. The rapture is not the second coming. The second coming is the second coming. It is a coming to earth, to Jerusalem, and the verse says, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is not symbolic. It's still there. Jerusalem is not symbolic. It's still there. Jesus will come all the way to the earth and set his feet on the Mount of Olives. Now, if somebody teaches this and doesn't teach that from verse 4, they don't take the Bible as it reads. I mean, you don't have to be a Hebrew scholar or anything to read verse 4 and understand Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives, right? This is not difficult. It's very clear. And yet you would be amazed at the commentaries that say, well, but Jerusalem isn't really Jerusalem, and Mount of Olives has a spiritual meaning to it, and all of this. And I won't go through the names, but some of the ones who teach that are very popular radio Bible teachers. They don't understand this. Well, you say, why? Well, it's not because it's complicated, is it? No, they don't understand it because they have their own preset theological systems and ideas that they superimpose over the Bible. And then, you know, people like me, they would try to say, well, he's just stupid. You know, he's just foolish because he just takes it as it reads. You know, he doesn't have a complex theological system to do this. Now, just take it as it reads. The difference between the rapture and the second coming is very clear. At the rapture, Jesus comes in the air. Now, say air, not clouds, because both the rapture and the second coming are with clouds. But at the rapture, Jesus comes in the air. Does he come to the earth? No, he doesn't come to the earth at the rapture. Therefore, it's not his second coming. Now, you know, there are some who want to technically argue, well, it's the first phase of his second coming. Okay, we don't need to argue about that. He comes in the air. But on this day, verse 4 says it, he comes to the earth. His feet touch the ground at the Mount of Olives. This is exactly what we're told in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, at Jesus' ascension. They also said, the angels, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. The New Testament agrees. Jesus is coming to the Mount of Olives. So that coming is clearly spelled out here. Prediction number 6. Zechariah 14:4. When Messiah puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, it will be split from east to west to form a large valley. Now, you could call this an earthquake produced by Jesus' feet touching the Mount of Olives. Now, I've listed some other earthquakes, Isaiah 29, Revelation 16, and we could add more. Those are earthquakes that occur during the tribulation period. This one in Zechariah 14:4, does not occur earlier in the tribulation period. This occurs at the exact instant Jesus' feet touch the Mount of Olives. And it makes the Mount of Olives split from east to west, so that there will be a large north-south valley between the mountains. That's an amazing thing. So hold on to that thought. Now, it's important in verse 5 as well. This is prediction number 7. When this happens, Israel will flee through the valley, that is the valley that's just been created when Jesus touched down on the Mount of Olives. They'll flee through that valley as in the earthquake in the days of Uzziah. That's what verse 5 says. By the way, if you want to confirm the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, Amos chapter 1 verse 1 speaks of it. And Josephus in his Antiquities also speaks of it. I've given you the reference here. So there was an earthquake then, and that earthquake was to get away from, or that fleeing through the valley was to get away from the earthquake that was caused by a judgment of God. And so will this one be. So all of those in Jerusalem that are being attacked and abused and their houses torn down and the women raped and all of that, when Jesus sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, they will all have a way to escape. One other word on verse 5. Azel, A-Z-E-L, is a place. It will be a literal place, but we don't know where it is. So somewhere, probably on the south side of Jerusalem, they're fleeing there to that place. So there will be deliverance for God's people. Prediction number 8. This will be the moment when the Lord will return with all his holy ones. See that at the end of verse 5? The Lord will return with all his holy ones. Now, who is that? All his holy ones. Okay? If you're saved tonight, take your finger like this and go, that's you. Because when Jesus comes and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, who is coming with him? We are. Revelation 19 pictures that and makes it clear. And by the way, Revelation 19 also includes not only the church, but angels also coming with him at his second coming. And if you think about it, if you have not been raptured prior to this, you won't be able to come back with him, will you? So that's very important that we keep those in their proper perspective. So are you in Zechariah chapter 14? Wow, that was worth coming for tonight, wasn't it? To find that out. You're there. Prediction number 9. When this happens, verse 6, there will be no light through normal luminaries. Will come about in that day, there will be no light, the luminaries will dwindle. Now, does that mean at the time of Jesus' second coming to earth that everything is going to be dark? No, it doesn't. It just means that the earth will not get its light from the sun or the moon or the stars. You say, well, then where will the earth get its light? Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 30, Jesus coming in his glory will light up the sky, and that will be in such a dramatic way against the total blackness of the universe. The glory of God, the only light shining in the universe, will be Jesus at his second coming. Wow, that's a thought, isn't it? So, there will be light, but the light will be the glory of Messiah at his coming. Prediction number 10, verse 7, this future day will be unique, known only to the Lord. That's what verse 7 says. It will be a unique day which is known to the Lord. Jesus said, Matthew 24:36, of that day an hour no man knows. Jesus said, not even himself, but only the Father. Now, that day that Jesus was talking about was not the rapture. Jesus did not say, nobody knows the date of the rapture. Now, that doesn't mean that you do know it, because you don't. But Jesus didn't say, nobody knows the day of the rapture. Jesus said, nobody knows the day or the hour of his second coming to Jerusalem when he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. That's what he said. It's a unique day known only to the Lord. Prediction number 11, the end of verse 7. This future day will have light by evening. In other words, by evening on the day of Jesus' second coming, the sun and moon and stars will again begin to give off some light. There will be light by that time. Prediction number 12, this future day will feature abundant living waters flowing from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea, which is referred to as the Eastern Sea in verse 8, and the Mediterranean, which is the Western Sea in verse 8. Living waters, beginning at the time of Jesus' second coming, flowing from the Temple Mount, and we won't take the time to read it tonight, but I encourage you to read Ezekiel chapter 47, the whole chapter, and you'll see in Ezekiel chapter 47 that water that flows from Jerusalem will turn the Dead Sea into fresh water. And that will be the case throughout the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. So abundant living waters. You know, Ezekiel 47 talks about people fishing and catching fish in the Dead Sea. Do you know you don't do that today? But in the millennial kingdom, after Jesus returns, you will. It'll be fresh water teeming with fish. Verse 9, prediction number 13, the Lord will be king over all the earth, ruling from Jerusalem. His throne will be in Jerusalem. The throne of the messianic kingdom, the throne of the coming kingdom, is not in heaven. It's not a heavenly throne. It's an earthly throne in Jerusalem. That's where Jesus will rule. He will be the king over all the earth. Verse 9 says he will be the only one and his name the only one. Now, in an election year, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? There will be no bumper stickers other than for Jesus. There will be no yard signs other than for Jesus. He'll be the only one. So, I would like a different candidate for messianic king. Okay, if you would like a different candidate, there is a place for you. It's called hell. So, he's the only one. He will rule from Jerusalem. Verse 10, prediction number 14. There will be tremendous changes to Israel's land. And I wish we had about 2 more hours right now to really talk about verse 10. What you're seeing in verse 10 is Jesus' feet touch the Mount of Olives. There's a split in the mountains. A valley is formed, and in the middle of it, Jerusalem, this is what verse 10 says, Jerusalem elevates. It rises. It gets higher. All around. And it gives you the dimensions of that in verse 10. Jerusalem, when Jesus returns and for the millennial kingdom, Jerusalem will be higher and larger than it is now. And by the way, the Temple Mount will be much larger than it is now. So, great changes. And if we had time tonight, we could describe the great changes that will occur over the entire planet. Some of them that already occurred during the tribulation period, but many that consolidate and occur when Jesus comes again. Do you know? When Jesus comes again, there will not be an ocean between Pennsylvania and Israel. The continents will come together like they were before the flood. By the way, if you want to learn about how they were before the flood, come to Dr. McMurtry's 3D globe thing that he'll be doing. And he'll explain it to you. But in the millennial kingdom, it will return to a pre-flood condition. And Jerusalem will quite literally, physically, be the center of the earth. By the way, it is, even now. The Lord will be king over all the earth. There'll be tremendous changes to Israel's land. Prediction number 15 in verse 11. There will be no more curse on the land. Do you realize all that you see on this planet, you're seeing a curse? Say, well, oh, but I've been to the Grand Canyon. What an amazing thing to see. Yeah, it is. And it is the result of Noah's flood, which was a great cataclysm and catastrophe on the face of the earth that produced it. The Grand Canyon isn't there because God said, oh, I think people would just like it and think it's pretty if I put a big hole here. You say, but the Grand Canyon is spectacular. Yes, it is. Even the things that God has cursed are spectacular. They really are. A curse is better than nothing. But in the millennial kingdom, the curse will be lifted off of the planet. And you will see it like it was when it was created. It will be like Eden. Nobody's seen that yet, but it will be. Prediction number 16, also in verse 11, Jerusalem will dwell in security, and Jerusalem will dwell in security throughout the entire 1,000 years of the millennial kingdom. That will be a first. Prediction number 17 in verse 12, the Lord will strike the enemies of Israel at Armageddon with a plague that will rot their flesh. Verse 12, when Jesus comes again, the enemies are there, they're waging war at Armageddon. Their flesh, verse 12, will rot while they stand on their feet, and their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongue will rot in their mouth. Steven Spielberg can't make the movie that's this good. This is incredible. What's going to happen? And it happens at Jesus' second coming. Just an aside, I have had those who have attempted to suggest to me that verse 12 is a verse about the coronavirus at the present time. Okay, I haven't heard of the coronavirus making people's flesh instantly rot while they're standing on their feet. I haven't heard of it making people's eyeballs rot out of their heads. And this is all instantaneous. So this is not the coronavirus, plus the fact it's the wrong time. This occurs at Jesus' second coming. This isn't even during the tribulation period. This is at Jesus' second coming afterward. Prediction number 18. In verse 13, the Lord will strike the enemies of Israel with panic and confusion, so they will kill each other. If you've been with us through the book of Judges on Wednesday evenings, that should remind you of Gideon's battle with the Midianites, where they were all caused to turn on each other. That the majority of the people who die at Armageddon, you know, people go, oh, it's so terrible because Jesus is going to kill all these people. Oh, okay, but what really happens is they, for the most part, kill each other. That's what occurs. So the Lord strikes them with panic and confusion. Prediction number 19, the Lord will use Judah to fight and defeat the enemies. In other words, the tribe of Judah in verse 14. Will play a significant role in securing Jerusalem and winning the battle of Armageddon. And you see in verse 14, the tribe of Judah will have great riches to begin the millennial kingdom as a result of this. And prediction number 20, Israel will have all the spoils and plunders of the nations. The end of verse 14 and also verse 15. Verse 15 includes that plague, you know, the eyes in the sockets and all that, will not only be on human beings, it will also be on horses, mules, camels, donkeys, and cattle that are in the enemy camps. So not only will the enemies be fried, but their horses and livestock and all of that will be fried as well. Jesus will come. He will win this significant battle. As Revelation 19 puts it, he will slay them by the sword coming out of his mouth, which is the word of his mouth. Jesus will speak, and the armies of the world will be dead. Revelation tells us the blood will come to the level of the horses' bridles. It's a significant victory. The second coming of Jesus is not a philosophical idea. The second coming of Jesus is a real event. It really is going to happen, and it really is predicted. Would you agree tonight? Predicted in pretty significant detail. It's predicted. Let's dispose of the nonsense that says, well, you know, there are all kinds of different views on the second coming of Jesus, and let's just all agree to disagree, and, you know, let's just all get along and whatever. Do you know what? The times that we are living in are too evil. They are too critical for everybody to just be sitting around and saying, well, this stuff doesn't matter. This immensely matters. Say, well, but the second coming of Jesus, that's got to be at least 7 years from now, right? Yes. It's got to be at least 7 years from now. But the rapture could be any moment. The rapture is only for those who trust Jesus and Jesus alone for their salvation. The rapture will not be for people who trust in Jesus plus works. Those people will get left behind. Face the tribulation, be killed, and be in the lake of fire forever. The rapture is not for those people who say, well, but I was a Christian and I lived a good life. No. The rapture is for those who trust in Jesus only. Not Jesus plus anything. Faith alone in Christ alone. Those are the ones who will be raptured. Everyone else will be left behind. Religious people, church-going people, will be left behind. It's grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone that saves. These things are, as you can see, deathly serious. Deathly. It is entirely possible that there are people that you know who are unsaved, that should the rapture happen this week, they will be left behind face the tribulation, and 7 years from now, they will be in this army gathered together against Jesus at his second coming, and they will be the ones who have their eyes rotted out and all of that. Maybe people you know. So this is very serious. This is not the time to be playing Bible prophecy games. Bible prophecy has a serious intent and result, and heeding it may make an eternal heaven or hell difference. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this amazing passage. And Lord, we thank you tonight that for those of us who know Christ, we could see ourselves in it. That when Jesus returns, we return with him. Lord, in that moment, Jesus' glory truly is the only light in the world. And so, Lord, may any who do not yet believe trust him tonight. And that light will begin to shine upon them. So thank you, Father, for this truth. Thank you for those who were with us tonight to hear it. And Lord, we do pray that as we go forth into this week to come, that the things of prophecy, these details, will lodge in our memories and our thinking, and Lord, may we be anticipating the rapture of the church any moment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.